The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you are doing well today. I want to make a promise to you, and this is a significant promise. There will be no yelling at you for an hour and 7 minutes today. Wow, what was that all about yesterday? Did you watch the State of the Union? Did you watch the GOP response? And I'm trying to figure out which one was worse. And we're going to get to the Republican response. Actually, it's Biden. He's the worst. That guy last night was filled with rage and some sort of a controlled substance. And it looks like they overdid the drug dosage last night. It was almost impossible to understand what the guy was saying. Now, fortunately, I get an advanced copy of these speeches, so I was able to follow along. And as I was reading the remarks, and it was like multiple pages, and I thought, boy, we're going to be here a long time. But the guy was literally speed reading through whatever he was saying. I've never seen anything quite like that. I mean, it was just unbelievable, just unbelievable. So you've got Joe Biden out there, and he was just filled with rage. It was one of these get off my lawn speeches. I mean, that's what it was. He was an old guy screaming at America for 1 hour and 7 minutes. And there are a couple of moments that I want to talk about. I want to get your reaction as well. And by the way, this is Open Line Friday, so you can also talk about whatever is on your mind. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on how you think Biden did last night and how you think the Republican response went. And I'm just going to look. Let's start with Katie Britt. Can we do that? That was just a little weird. So the whole point of the whole optics, and this was all about optics. You had the oldest president of the United States, and then you had the youngest member of the United States Senate, Katie Britt. She's 41, 42 years old from Alabama. I'm sure she is very nice. By the way, did you notice that she never mentioned Donald Trump's name last night in her address? Did you pick up on that? So there Katie Britt is, and I just didn't get it. I felt like at times I needed to pick up the phone and get a rescue animal. I mean, I was watching and I'm like, and then she kept on and on and on. And I thought, oh, maybe I need to go adopt an Ethiopian child, right? Or build a water well somewhere. It was very strange. So I was told last night because I was texting back and forth with some folks and they said, Starnes, I don't think that speech was meant for you. I think that speech delivered by Senator Britt was actually meant for young moms of America. And I want to ask you women out there, you ladies, is that true? Is that accurate? Was she actually talking to you as opposed to, I don't know, all the rest of us? Was that a message? Because it was weird. It was almost like I was watching a really bad audition for a faith-based movie. It was just, I don't know, it was just awkward and stilted, and it seemed as if she was right out of the gate and really through much of her speech was about to break down in tears. And I don't know what that was all about. And also, what was up with the kitchen? So the Republicans So the Republicans thought it was a good idea to show how modern we are to stick a woman in a kitchen to deliver the GOP response. I get it. But can we get real for a moment? That was not a working kitchen. There wasn't anything in the kitchen. Was that just me? Or did anybody else notice that? There wasn't a coffee maker. There wasn't a little bowl of fruit. There weren't any dirty dishes. It just seems to me that it was staged too much. And look, this could have actually been an incredible GOP response to President Rage. And I would have started off that speech, and she missed the opportunity because it was Ronald Reagan who once said that American greatness does not start in Washington. American greatness starts around the kitchen table. That's how that speech should have gone. But I get it, I guess. But really, ladies, was that representative of how you feel about the country right now? Because I'm telling you, after what I saw last night, I was filled with anger. And I think there is a palpable anger in this country over what the Democrats have done. And I did not see that conveyed last night. As a matter of fact, there was the president yelling at Republicans, and he was literally goading the Republicans into a fight. That was not a State of the Union address. That was an attack on the Republican Party. And he was juiced up for the fight last night. But you could tell, and President Trump did a brilliant job of this, you could tell when the drugs were starting to fade, right? And that's why Biden had to speed up, because he knew that there was a time crunch here. He knew he didn't have much time left. I'm talking about the speech, not in real life. So it was one of the most partisan speeches I've seen. Rambling, incoherent. Nobody could understand it. They were interviewing some of the lawmakers who were actually in the chamber, and they said they had a very hard time understanding what Biden was saying. And so did all of us at home. But just think about this. In less than 90 minutes last night, it was an hour, 7 minutes, he goaded the Republican lawmakers into a fight. He threatened the Supreme Court justices to their face. That was unbelievable. And then this whole thing about Lake and Riley, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but he dismissed the murder of Lake and Riley at the hands of that illegal immigrant, that monster, that savage. So here's what I think should have happened last night. And if you disagree, if you think that speech that Senator Britt delivered was the best speech in American history, I want to hear from you. Tell me where I'm wrong here. But here's what should have happened. Speaker Johnson should have gotten up, and he looked small last night. Anybody else see that? He just looked small. And he kept rolling his eyes, and here's what he should have done. He should have gotten up out of that chair, walked out of the House chamber. But before he left, he should have taken that speech and he should have torn it in half, pulled a Pelosi, and then walked out of the chamber, and then every single Republican in the House and the Senate should have gotten up and walked out with him. Because that was a shameful thing that happened last night. Again, just my thoughts here. But I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926. We're going to be opening up the phone lines today. That's 901-260-5926. Now, you've got a lot of Democrats that are upset at Biden because he actually called the illegals illegal last night. And a lot of Democrats are fired up over that. And then you had these hundreds of these Palestinian protesters. And these protesters are out there and they're blocking the motorcade route. And these morons didn't realize there's more than one way to get to the U.S. Capitol building. So Biden never saw them. They weren't arrested last night. No, but none of the protesters were. There are a lot of protesters out there, and they were doing a lot of criminal behavior. They had no permits to protest. They were blocking streets. That's against the law. That's a crime. The only person who got arrested last night was a Gold Star father. That's the only person that got arrested last night. His name is Steve Nicoy. He is the father of a U.S. Marine who was killed during Biden's botched evacuation of Kabul, Afghanistan. Now, Mr. McCoy had been invited to the address by Florida Congressman Brian Mast. And here's how it works. Every member of Congress gets to invite one special guest, and those guests get to sit up in the gallery. I was a guest several years ago of Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, and it's a fun thing. Mr. McCoy, in the middle of the address, stood up in the House gallery and started yelling, Abby Gate, and then he shouted, United States Marines. Now, Abbey Gate is where those Marines were attacked at the Karzai International Airport. 13 U.S. service members were killed that day, including his son, Kareem. He was a Lance Corporal. So Mr. McCoy was actually hauled out in handcuffs, and he was charged with three misdemeanor counts. As Congressman Mast said, so much for the right to petition our government for the redress of our grievances. That is a fair statement. So I'm reaching out to the congressman's office and just passing this along to the McCoy family, but I am personally willing to pay whatever fine might be levied against Mr. McCoy. But I'm curious to hear from you, and that's where we're going to go for right now. I want to let's start the day in Georgia. Anna is on the line, and she wants to weigh in on Katie Britt's GOP response. Hi, Anna. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Todd. I don't know who chose that. She's a wonderful young woman, just precious as she can be. But that was not the time. I don't think that was the time. This was, like you said, is a great opportunity to have Cruz or Rubio or Marjorie or any one of them that, that are strong conservatives to counterattack that mess we watched last night. But I cannot believe when I first saw her, I thought, what are they thinking? What in the world are they thinking about that? That was not the time nor the place.
Anna, it was, she, lovely person and a great family, the whole nine yards. This, at first I thought, is this a Saturday Night Live skit? I mean, it just had that vibe.
Yeah. That's exactly the way. That's exactly where it's like, this a joke? What is this? But I was just sitting there, and I had just, there was a tapestry of obscenities hanging over my house last night. after I watched the president, I don't know, there must have been some B-12 shots, or maybe he borrowed a line from Hunter. I don't know. It just was just the craziest mess I've ever seen, and then to follow it up with somebody as demure as Katie, just it wasn't real thought out.
No, it wasn't. And can we get real, Anna? Does anybody's kitchen actually look that pristine?
Mine doesn't.
No, that's... I didn't even see a cast iron skillet. That's not an Alabama kitchen. That is not an Alabama kitchen. All right, Anna, I'm with you, and I think a lot of people were cussing last night, cussing like Methodist. All right, Anna, God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Kelly in Georgia. Hi, Kelly. What did you think about that speech last night?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
You know what? It's so funny because as soon as I heard you address it this morning when you came on, I said those exact same words exactly that I couldn't believe it looked like a bad movie script. My husband liked her. Anyways, I also wanted to tell you that I can't wait for Trump to come out with an ad that states what he said with thousands of people have been killed by illegal immigrants.
So, yes.
I mean, it came right out of his mouth.
Yes, it did. Kelly, you're absolutely right. Biden actually acknowledged that thousands of Americans, so that I'm like, well, let's talk about that. And he stepped in it last night. He did not mean to say that, but he did. And now he's going to have to deal with it.
and it'll be in the ads. It'll be in the ads. And I thought it was absolutely insane. And I love you, Todd, man. I think just like you. It's so funny that the words that come out of your mouth come out of my mouth as well. And thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you, Kelly. Appreciate that call. And thanks for listening. Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a break. Our phone number, 901-260-5926. What'd you think about the speech from Biden? What'd you think about the speech from Senator Katie Britt? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to ToddStearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to ToddStearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, let's get right back to the phones on this Open Line Friday. Your reaction to the Republican and Democrat addresses. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Johnny is listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hey, Johnny, what's going on?
Not much, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
That speech was great last night, even though Republicans thought it was. I'm expecting you to make a big announcement this week. You no longer support Donald Trump.
Why would you say that? Why would you think that, Johnny? Sounds like you may be using some of those controlled substances that Biden was on last night.
Well, you said that you can't support someone that was not pro-life, and you read about the 16-week ban, didn't you? And we have to reach a middle ground on abortion. You did read about that, didn't you?
Well, I did, and Donald Trump is pro-life, but I'm talking about the speech last night. What did you like about that speech last night?
Well, it's Open Friday. And then
you said that you liked the speech. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why did you like the speech?
The speech was great. He touched on everything that he's done.
He was screaming. Were you okay with that? He was screaming at America through most of that speech.
He was fine. Even though Republicans, they liked it.
Who? He was saying what Republicans liked it?
All of them did.
I'm fairly certain that's not correct.
That you were going to archive what Charles Barkley said. Is hitting someone in the mouth, is it greater? I mean, is it worse than killing somebody? Is that, you know, which one? Hit somebody in the mouth or killing someone?
What are you getting at? You're goading me into something here, Johnny.
Well, no. MAGA says, y'all says that if you all's guy don't win, that you all gonna start a civil war. So
who said that?
Greater, hitting someone?
Who said that?
Oh, you've always said it. You and the MAGA.
No, I haven't said anything. I have said nothing like that.
Then my other point is that
you haven't made a single point.
Huh?
You haven't made a single point yet.
Yeah, I have to. I've made some great points. My God is greater than cheating. You know, you always say the election was stolen, you know, and then all you white evangelicals said that God spoke to you all and said that Donald Trump, you know, was going to win. Well, my God, the God I serve, is greater than cheating. You know, if God spoke to you and told you that, then you just lied. Because the God that I know walked on water, the God that I know healed the blind, the God that I know turned water into wine. So my God is greater than cheating. So to let you know right there, there wasn't any cheating. So you
all right. Thank you, Johnny. No, I got to run for a break here. Appreciate the call. I would say that Johnny has been drinking some of that wine today. I have no idea what he's talking about. Every single point he made is not true. We are not calling for a civil war, ladies and gentlemen. Golly. All right. Johnny says all you Republicans out there loved Joe Biden's speech. Is that true? 901-260-5926. Open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Come on, Johnny. Come on. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. All right. Laura Trump, by the way, just elected co-chair of the RNC. So that news breaking just a little while ago. So congratulations to our good friend Laura Trump. No doubt she will do a fine job. Can't do any worse than Ronna Romney McDaniel. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Iowa. Martin is listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Martin. What's on your mind today?
Fortunately, none of my family members have Alzheimer's or dementia, but I never realized that if you have Alzheimer's and dementia, that you could give a coherent 90-minute speech. Did you know that?
Was that coherent to you?
You know it was, Todd. Stop trying to BS everyone.
No, you think that speech was coherent last night?
Well, you know, Biden is not well-spoken, as well-spoken as Orange Jesus, but, yeah, I thought it was pretty coherent.
So, first of all, Martin, you and I are going to have a conversation. You lied to get onto the program, by the way, and I think that's important for our listeners to know that. I just don't understand liberal.
Hold on.
I don't understand why you can't just, when you call in, and this is for all liberals, and maybe you know the answer to this, why can't you just call in and say, hey, I want to go after Starnes about X, Y, or Z? Why can't you just be honest with my call screener?
I don't know how you know that I'm not being honest. And, yeah, you wouldn't take my calls.
What evidence do you have that I would not take your calls, Martin? Because clearly I could have already hung up on you, and our audience never would have known it because we have what we call a delay system. But I'm curious because we believe that people who disagree, they go right to the top of our phone list.
And why do you think I'm a Democrat or a liberal?
Well, clearly you're not very smart. I mean, no offense, but I mean, if you thought that was a great speech last night, if you thought that was a coherent speech last night, I mean, Martin, come on.
How come if you're not a cult member, you're therefore a Democrat? Or a liberal? What do you mean by a cult member?
What? Now, here's the thing for me. Cult member would be what the Democrats
have going on. Have you been to a Trump rally?
I've spoken at Trump rallies. I have.
Good. So you know what a cult is like then?
No, I do. That is not a cult. People there are not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes. Right. People wearing Trump paraphernalia, showing him as Rambo or as a dinosaur.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? That's good politicking. Yeah. Hey, Martin, Democrats, back when Barack Hussein Obama was president, they were literally selling Barack Hussein Obama nativity scenes. They were selling Barack Obama prayer shawls, and they had a whole line of products, and this was at the DNC in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was there and saw it myself. They had a whole line of products that were literally deifying Barack Obama.
for every one of those that you saw, there's 10,000 for Trump. There's no comparison.
I don't believe that.
You're
but
in
even
a cult.
If,
that, there's nothing wrong being in a cult, Todd.
That, Martin, you have to explain, what do you mean by a cult?
What do I mean by a cult?
Yeah. When the explain GOP, how being a Trump supporter. So does that make you a cult member? I mean, you're a Joe Biden supporter.
No, I'm not. I think Biden's a pretty poor president.
You just said he delivered a great speech last night.
Oh, it was a pretty good speech. Doesn't mean I think he's a good president.
What did you think about think about the admission that thousands of people have been killed on American soil at the hands of illegals?
Your black and white thinking really—you can't.
It really is black and white. Yes, that's what he said. Thousands of Americans have been killed by illegals.
Either you're with Trump, or therefore you're a radical libtard. Like people like you can't. There's no nuance to your thinking.
Now, if you want to use the L word, I mean, if you want to call people like yourself a libtard, that's your call. I would not call you a libtard. But I will say this, Martin, this country's in bad shape right now, and Donald Trump has issued a plan, a path forward, and I believe in that path. That does not make me a member of a cult.
Look, Todd, I get it. You support Trump because if you didn't, you'd have no show. Even though you don't
That's
have
not true.
A show.
Martin, I'm going to show you how ignorant that statement is. Maybe you are a libtard, Martin, because let me explain this to you. I was originally a Rick Perry supporter, then I became a Mike Huckabee supporter, then I became a Ted Cruz supporter. Donald Trump was the last man standing. That is a very well-documented story. So for you to sit there and to say that I'm some sort of a disciple, that is simply not true. And that was, by the way, through the 4 years of the Trump presidency. So I'm not quite sure where you get off saying that, but here's the deal. Martin, I want you to call us back. I want you to do your homework. I want you to do your facts. And when you do that, give us a call back and we can have a good conversation. Thanks a lot for calling on an Open Line Friday. There you go. So look, Martin called in and he said he wanted to go after Joe Biden. And if you call into the program, my call screener is going to ask you some questions. What do you want to talk to Todd about? Those kinds of questions. And we expect for people to be honest. By and large, most of our callers are very honest. I would say overwhelmingly. But the liberal callers, they try to pull a fast one on us. And I don't understand why that is, because I love talking to liberals. All right, let's go to Linda in Georgia. This is Linda number two, wanting to talk about Biden's presidency.
Well, I want to talk about illegal aliens coming into this country unvaccinated.
Okay, that's all right. So I'm sorry, we have two Lindas from Georgia. And so, Linda, so we're talking about the New York City smallpox. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
All right, go for it.
My son called and wanted to know if he needed to get a vaccination for smallpox. And I said, that's been eradicated for years. They don't get that anymore. He said, New York is full of smallpox right now from illegal aliens coming in.
Is that right? Now,
I don't know if it's right. I told him, I said, you need to call a doctor.
Absolutely.
That's scary. We've got young mothers that will not let their children be vaccinated for everything now. And now all millions of illegal aliens coming into this country unvaccinated is scary.
Linda, it is. But again, we're not checking these individuals when they're coming across the border. They're being allowed to board jetliners with American citizens, by the way. They're transporting these people all across America. And not only are they transporting the illegals, they are transporting whatever diseases or illnesses they may or may not have.
Yes, sir. That's right. That is so correct.
All right. Well, Linda.
It makes me mad. I get really mad about it.
You have every right to be mad because, again, it puts your child in danger. And that's something that the Democrats do not want to talk about. Linda, thank you for that. Let's go to the other Linda who wants to weigh in on President Biden's speech last night. Hi, Linda. What's on your mind?
Hello, my friend. It's been several years. I called you about 3 years ago, and we had a great conversation. But just listening, 3 points. Number one, about Ms. Britt, I did listen to her speech. I noticed that you weren't too complimentary, and I thought at first she was doing pretty well. And then as it went on, I thought, get a grip, honey. We need to be a little stronger than that. Number two, in regard to the kitchen, golly day, I've got a great kitchen, and it looks good a lot of the time when I'm not cooking and baking. So there are some of us that keep really great kitchens.
But hold on, Linda. I mean, if you look at my kitchen, I have a clean kitchen, but I have, you know, a coffee maker, the can openers there, but there was nothing.
Honey, I've got stuff on the counter.
But she didn't have anything on the counters. That's what I was trying to point out.
They tidied up quite a bit.
That's not a working kitchen, Linda. That's not a working kitchen.
Well, baby, I wish I could send you a picture of mine, and I've got the copper pots hanging above the stove,
but,
so it looks pretty working.
Yeah, that's right, but there weren't even copper pots, not even a cast iron skillet. This is an Alabama kitchen. That is disgraceful, a disgraceful kitchen for Alabama.
Oh, Lord. All right, third point. Oh, gosh, at 83, almost 84, I'm forgetting what my third point was. I think about the speech. No, not a speech. That harangue that went on for an hour and 7 minutes. I do think, yes, his medication really had spiked him up and knew that he would have to be medicated to go through that period of time. The bottom line to all of it is, my friend, I feel like we are Germany, 1940, in what's happening to our country. And I guess it saddens me so deeply. And wake up, America. We've got to get our act together here. So I just needed to express my frustration. I can't listen to Mr. Biden, nor ever address him as president. I feel sad for him. I think he does have, beyond mental acuity, I think there is something organically in his brain that isn't functioning well. But it's very disturbing. And to listen to that going nuts last night was just pretty pathetic. So those are my thoughts, my friend. And hopefully things do tend to get better for all of us here.
Yeah, Linda, I'm with you. You do not sound like you are. How old? You said you were 80, 81?
I'm going to be
84. 84. So you're older than Joe Biden.
Oh, yes, I am older than Joe Biden by 3 years.
So this is not an issue of age. This is an issue of mental capacity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd said it way back, friend. I said his mental acuity, and this is before anybody else even used that term. I had said to my husband, his mental acuity is terribly disrupted. And, but I've got to be careful. Yes, I've got to be a lady and be glad that I'm talking to you and expressing. But friends, our country is in deep, deep trouble. And that bothers me more than anything. Being as old as I am, seeing the things, certainly remembering World War II. My father served, was a colonel in the Army, been through all of that. And remember, too, when I was 10 years old and I was at a Girl Scout meeting and heard on the radio that we were at war with Korea. Well, and I remember as a 10-year-old saying to my Girl Scout leader, this is the worst day ever. We've just finished with World War II in 1945, and here it is 5 years later, and we're going to be at war with Korea.
Well, it sounded like, Linda, last night, that's exactly how Biden was kicking off his speech, because the speech he referenced with FDR was the speech that FDR gave to announce that we were, in fact, going to war. So, Linda, I appreciate your call. Always great hearing from you. You give us a call back real quick now. Let's go to Collierville, Tennessee. Cash Money listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Cash Money.
Hey, buddy. I appreciate the way you treat people with differing opinions. The dialogue is so important for our community and our nation.
Well, Cash Money, I did call him a libtard, so I'm not too sure.
Well, yeah, maybe we should confess that tonight and get that right.
Hey, I'll write that down.
I kept waiting for Biden to pat his hip like Lance Armstrong did during those 10 times that he won. I was trying to figure out, was Lance there earlier in the afternoon, maybe with his doctor or druggist? Or I don't know. Maybe I'm off base on this. You tell me.
No, he was on something. I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of speculation about that cocaine they found at the White House a while back.
Oh, me. All right, we're going to take the high road here. All right, you know, every day you can choose the low road or the high road, Todd. So we have to take the high road. So I apologize for what I said about our president.
Well, I don't know if you need to apologize, Cash Money. I mean, when you look at that performance, something was not quite right, and I think they just overjuiced him, over-medicated him. His eyes were big as saucers last night.
Yeah, he was
very strange.
I mean, people I've been around in the past, that's jacked up.
I'm not too sure he could make it through one of those Collierville Police Department checkpoints. I'm just saying.
Well, come see us, Todd.
All right.
We love you.
All right. Thanks a lot now, Cash Money. I love it. You know, a lot of folks now calling in and have the nicknames, and we love the nicknames. All right. We got to take a break because we also love our sponsors. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. I feel like I need to just get this off of my chest, and I do want to apologize. I should not have used a certain word, and I just, you know, again, when we make a mistake here on the program, we're quick to confess, and I just want to apologize for using the term libtard. I should have used the term special needs Democrat, and I just want to apologize for that. So they can't help it. Let's go to Stephen in Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster. Hi, Stephen. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm doing what you gave me orders last time to give you a call back. I just want to remind you that you are still, I don't think anybody's closed in on you, you are the class act of daytime radio. And I think most viewers really, really appreciate. And your audience overall, I wouldn't doubt that you pretty much got a 100% participation rate. They think the world of you, because I certainly do for sure. And you're thought of that way up here in southern Maine and the northern part of Maine. So that's what I wanted to say. And if I can offer one other thing real quick, and then I'll get off. I want to make sure that everybody understands that's listening to you, Todd, that when you see Mitch McConnell that stepped aside and you have people like Cornyn, that's his lieutenant. So if somebody wants to put Cornyn in there, then what they're going to be doing is just doing what Mitch McConnell wants. And you got the other guy that's Marcella, the reason, and he's been voting the last 3-4 times present most of the time because he got caught up in that Bush Cheney thing with.
Oh, that's Hayden right.
And Liz Cheney, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
For the most part, he tries to stay neutral, but he's part of the establishment Republicans too. And Fu, I believe he's 50-50. He's probably the better of the two, but we need to have Marsha Blackburn, you know, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, people like that. That's what we need to push to make sure that we get the right person in the Republican Senate.
All right. Well, Stephen, hey, we are up against a hard break here, Stephen. Thank you for those kind words. Thank you for calling in. And we're looking forward to heading up to Portland for our big book launch. And we're going to tell you more about that coming up next week. Folks, also want to let you know, you did a great job yesterday. And we are on the verge of hitting $5,000 in our Radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom. And they're fighting for us every single day, protecting our freedoms all the way to the Supreme Court. And if you go in the break, if you go to ToddStearns.com and click at the banner, the very top of the page, the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, you too are going to be able to join me as we stand alongside our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, it doesn't matter if you've got $5 or $100 or even more. It's all tax deductible, by the way, which is a good thing. But you're doing great work by helping out our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Will you help me in that cause? All right. Again, ToddStarnes.com, or you can give them a call, 855-417-6556. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere if you're on hold.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So we're watching this news coming out of the airport, the international airport there in Houston, where a United Airlines flight suffered some sort of a landing gear failure. There was some sort of a massive failure. So long story short, the jetliner from, and by the way, this was a flight from Memphis to Houston, and skidded off the runway, and the entire airplane is at a really awkward angle there. They were able to get everybody off the plane through the front, through some sort of a portable stair system. And now they're trying to figure out what happened, but they're telling us it was some sort of a failure of the landing gear. Now, yesterday, another United Airlines flight, you might have seen this one taking off, and all of a sudden, tires started popping off, destroyed a couple of cars in a parking lot. It was crazy. Now, it's important for us to remember here that United Airlines has been bragging about diversity hires. So I'm with Governor Mike Huckabee. He says maybe they ought to be focusing on competence hiring. And I am with the governor on this. This is why I've been flying Delta, and I certainly hope they don't have that problem. Anyway, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Open line Friday, so we're going to get to your calls momentarily. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome the great congresswoman from the 3rd Congressional District in Florida, Kat Kamick. Kat, good to have you back with us.
Always great to be with you, Todd. Are you surviving last night's rampage and angry speech?
Wow, I just felt, I don't know, I felt anxious after that speech. The guy was just yelling at America for an hour and 7 minutes last night.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, being in the room, I was in the chamber, and it was disorienting because the yelling was so up and down, and then he would whisper and mumble, and so then you'd start trying to hear and like listen very intently, and then he'd start yelling again. It really did remind me of the old man who's yelling at you to get off his lawn.
Yes.
That's the vibe I got.
Yes. And then I thought the most bizarre thing, and look, I really felt like at some point he was just goading you guys, the Republicans. And I was expecting Speaker Johnson just to get up and walk out, and I would not have blamed any of you guys for doing that last night.
I was getting there. You know, I felt like this was such a slap in the face to everyday Americans who are struggling under the Biden administration policies, folks who are on fixed incomes, people like working class families like my own, folks that have had to make decisions between do I pay rent, do I pay groceries, do I fill up the gas tank? For folks with medical conditions, they're staring down the barrel of, do I get my prescriptions this month or do I pay the electric bill? We have more credit card debt today, less market participation for the labor market than ever. And it's just absurd that he's up there pretending like everything's hunky-dory when we all know that America today is far worse than America under President Trump. And I think the question was asked at one point, are you better off today than you were 3 years ago? No, we're far worse off. And I called it the state of delusion because clearly he is so out of touch with everyday Americans that he felt that last night's speech was okay. But you and I both know it was for his base. It was an attempt to shore up his base because folks are very, very concerned that he's not going to be able to win the general election, let alone his own people in his party.
And it started out with the state of Ukraine, not the United States of America. That was a little off-putting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's just so crazy to me, is you're there to give the State of the Union, and the first topic that you open up with is typically your top priority, and he immediately starts talking about Ukraine. I found that incredibly insulting and off-putting, because we know that we have a rampant crime crisis in this country, an open border, we have runaway inflation, we have all these domestic pressures and challenges that he has chosen to ignore and or amplify and make worse. And Ukraine is the first thing that he wants to talk about. Talk about a slap in the face to all of the guests that were there from around the country. People who, like my guest, Mr. Ed Bravo, who lost his daughter, Selena, to fentanyl. There was not a single solution presented from President Biden talking about how he was going to stop the 100,000 individuals from dying every year from fentanyl. And so it's just, again, it was just disappointing. It was embarrassing. But more than that, it's dangerous to have a commander in chief like that.
I think so. The only thing worse than not mentioning Laken Riley's name last night was actually getting her name wrong, which he did twice. And that was, he wouldn't have even said her name had it not been for Marjorie Taylor Greene calling him out from the from her chair there.
Yeah, you know, and I am just so dismayed that in his attempt, and again, the whole speech could have been summed up by saying, you know, this is case in point of what it looks like when you're trying too hard. You know, you're really going overboard trying to prove that you've got what it takes to serve for another 4 years. He was so jacked up that he grabbed the pen, proceeds to go off script. And I think in his mind, he was thinking he was going to make some grand point that he could say her name and he was going to just hit it head on, and called her Lincoln, and then looks to the gallery as though her family is there, when, of course, we all in that room know that her family was not. It just further exacerbated the rumor mill that he is mentally not there, mentally not capable. And to be even more insulting, that he just really doesn't give a damn about the everyday Americans that are struggling and feeling the pain of the illegal immigration that is taking place in our country.
And we had Congressman Mike Collins on a few days ago, and he, the family, the Riley family, lives in his district, and so he kept his seat vacant in memory of Laken last night, which was, I think, a pretty moving thing to do. It was a missed opportunity, but again, I didn't expect anything else out of that speech last night. But were you able to understand? We heard from other lawmakers, they just had a hard time understanding what he was saying. He would speed up real fast and he would start slurring his words. It was very strange.
It was. That's why I said it was very disorienting speech, because not only did he start very late, there wasn't the traditional formal welcome and announcement that we've always seen throughout the years.
Oh, well, the reason why, my understanding is that that he jumped the gun, that Johnson was ready to do it, and he didn't want to interrupt the president, poor guy.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm telling you, from my vantage point, it was very confusing. It took him forever once he actually entered the room to get up to the front. He spent a lot of time shaking hands and got up to the dais, and I was sitting next to Frank Lucas from Oklahoma, and multiple times throughout the night, I leaned over to Frank. I said, can you understand him? I'm having a hard time understanding what he's saying, because it was so erratic. It was very fast, and it was mumbles, and it was whispers, and it was yells, and it was very, very strange. And like I said, it felt like he started out very rushed, like he was behind. Maybe he was, you know, jacked up on something. I don't know. And then about halfway, three quarters of the way through, you really did see and feel in the room a noticeable change, a slowdown. All of a sudden he started coughing a lot and he started mumbling a lot and slowing down, and the cadence really just got very strange. And all of us in that room were looking around at each other like, is he okay? Are we about to witness something awful, a medical event? It was very, very scary and very, very sad. No one ever wants No, I don't think any freedom-loving American, any patriot would ever want to see something bad happen to the commander-in-chief. And I can tell you in that room, there were far more concerns leaving that room about his health than there were before he started.
Well, Kent Kamik is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and I want to switch gears here because you have joined a coalition to protect Americans from the Chinese-controlled TikTok. And as is always the case with the media, the narrative is, oh, the Republicans want to shut down TikTok, but that is simply not the case, is it?
No, Todd. I mean, come on. You and I, we are very liberty-minded, thoughtful individuals, I want to say. And I would never want my own government to have unfettered access to my data and ability to force me to do things with, you know, like a carrot stick operation, like what we saw yesterday from TikTok. So why the heck would I allow a foreign adversary to have that kind of unfettered access and control of my personal data? It makes absolutely no sense. So from being a person who is very adamantly against big government and big tech, it's a natural assumption that I would be on board to really look at this in a thoughtful way and say, we don't want to ban anybody, but we are going to incentivize you to divest. And for TikTok and ByteDance, their parent company, the choice is clear. You are owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. I have been in all the classified briefings you can imagine, but even just the public information that's out there, the suppression of First Amendment rights on the application. Yesterday, they attempted to bully and harass and intimidate members of Congress by using the geolocation data, of which, mind you, Todd, they have said in the past that they can't access, that they don't use. They used the geolocation data of their users to determine if you were in any member of Congress's district that served on the Energy and Commerce Committee. Once they identified you as being in the Energy and Commerce Committee district, they then turned your capability of using the app off and said, you need to call your member of Congress. Something very interesting happened. I had a constituent call and say, please don't take away TikTok. And we explained, we're not banning it. We're not taking it away. We're just saying you have to break up with the Chinese Communist Party. It's their choice. They can either break up with them and keep using the app, or it goes away. Like, that's the option. And they said, okay, we understand. We get the call back from that same constituent about 10 seconds later, and they say, never mind, I want you guys to force them to divest, because I just found out that unless I call through the app and that TikTok has a record that I've actually done the action that they're demanding of me, they won't let me use it. I don't want an app, certainly a foreign-controlled app, Chinese app, to have that kind of power. They're turning content creators into foot soldiers. And I think anyone who has any reservations about big government and big tech, they should absolutely have those same reservations about ByteDance.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Kat, we've got to leave it there. Great insight and intel. Folks, call your elected members of Congress and tell them to get on board this very important legislation to protect us from the Chinese. Kat, appreciate it as always. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Todd. You as well.
All right. Congresswoman Kat Kamik, everybody, from Florida. This is smart. And again, this is not they're not shutting down TikTok, but we simply cannot have a major media platform being controlled by our enemy. That's all it is. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going right to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, the weekend is upon us, but I want to take a moment to remind you that for more than three decades, Alliance Defending Freedom has been fighting for you and me, protecting our first freedoms. And in recent years, the left has been ramping up its efforts to erode our rights, everything from men competing in women's college sports to preventing parents from even seeing their kids, what their kids are being taught in public schools. I mean, this is a literal battle, which is why ADF needs our support. They need our help, folks. There is a Stand With ADF banner on ToddStarnes.com at the top of the page. You can click on that and you can join me in raising much needed money. And we're raising $20,000 to support Alliance Defending Freedom. We're almost to the $5,000 mark, so I think we're going to be able to get there today. If you go to toddstearns.com, this is a tax-deductible gift. So again, it could be $5 or $100 or even more. Every single penny is going to help Alliance Defending Freedom represent these clients. And by the way, they never charge their clients a single penny. You can also call them at 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. We'll be right back. All right, next week heading to our nation's capital, Tuesday, we've got a big event scheduled. The Conservative Policy Institute throwing a big bash, and we're marking the pre-launch of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. So we're going to have a lot of lawmakers, a lot of policymakers there. It's going to be a fun event. And then on Wednesday, off to Santa Barbara, where I'll be addressing several hundred high school students at the Young Americas Foundation meeting at the Reagan Ranch. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, wants to disagree with me about TikTok. Hi, Mike. What you got going on? What's up?
My friend, Todd, I love you, but you got this one wrong. I've been using TikTok for years. It is the greatest app ever created. It is a conservative platform. It's the only one that hasn't banned me ever for my speech. And, of course, these rhinos want to grab it because it costs probably hundreds of millions to create it. So they'd love to have it, have the algorithm. I think we need to be clear on this. China is not our enemy. Washington, D.C. is the enemy. Don't worry about China. I don't trust the CIA, Todd. It wouldn't surprise me if the CIA created what she said TikTok did. It's a joke. China didn't kill 70 million unborn babies. China doesn't allow the unfettered access to this country from foreign terrorists and people that bring in fentanyl and traffic human beings. China does not want to take our guns. China does not want to silence us. They're in it for the money. These politicians like Blackburn are a joke. Blackburn is a conservative. No, she's not, Todd. She's trying to hurt little radio stations by charging little radio stations the fee of ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC for streaming. She's a rhino. This politician you had on, I want to know who owns her. TikTok is not the problem. How about these guys that call from overseas and hoodwink these little old ladies? Oh, you have a virus on you. Why aren't we going after them?
So Mike, you don't have a, you're not concerned that China is using TikTok to spy on American citizens?
Every app spies. Everything. They don't need TikTok to spy. If you have a phone, your phone's being spied on. There's stuff far more sophisticated than TikTok. I've been in technology my entire life, 50 years plus. This is a ruse. This is nothing more than not only a diversion, but so their buddies, these politicians' buddies, can get a hold of the best app ever devised.
All right. Mike, you hear the music, so that's why I want to let you have your say here. So Mike from Nuga Radio, our great station out in Chattanooga, disagrees with me on TikTok. Says, let the Chinese keep running it. They're not our enemy. That's what Mike says. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Want to play some audio. This is the gentleman, the Gold Star Dad, who had finally just had enough yesterday. Cut number three.
Freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest investment in public safety ever. Last year, the murder rate saw the sharpest decrease in history. Violent crime.
All right, we're good. Thank you. So look, here's the deal. That guy, Steve Nicoy, he is the father of a U.S. Marine who was killed at Abbey's Gate. You heard him shouting Abbey's Abbey Gate. He also shouted United States Marines. His son was a Lance Corporal, and he was killed in that disastrous and botched evacuation of Kabul, Afghanistan. 13 service members were killed that day. Anyway, what I find fascinating about this is Mr. Nicoy, who had been an invited guest of Congressman Brian Mast, our friend from Florida. Mr. Nicoy was led away in handcuffs. They literally handcuffed this man's hands behind his back, and he was charged with three issues. I'm not going to get into the charges, but they're all misdemeanors. And we have reached out to the congressman's office and have offered to pay. If there's a fine, we're happy to pay the fine on behalf of the family. But here's a man who got no answers from his government. I don't fault this man for saying what he needed to say last night. And again, this goes back to the GOP response. It was lacking. It did not convey the anger, the frustration. It did not convey any of that. And I think that's the mood of the American people right now. That is the mood of the American people. Cut number 13.
The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all, bless his heart, we know better.
Yeah, I just don't know about that. I just don't know about that. Again, very, very good senator from my estimation, but that missed the mark yesterday. Or did it? Maybe I'm wrong here. Let's go to the phone lines. Dean in Nevada wants to weigh in. Hi, Dean. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I wanted to talk about Katie's speech. I think she seemed really nervous, and I think that we, you know, and all the direction and stage, whatever that you were talking about earlier, that's all that aside, I think that girl really loves this country like we do. And that's just my opinion on that. She seemed very, very nervous. And I think they threw her out a little soon in front of the whole entire country like that.
Yeah, I have no doubt that she loves America at all. I just think the tone and the tenor and the setting was just off.
Yeah, she's seemed real emotional, and you know, we gotta quell that. You know, we can't be emotional. There was a guy a few weeks back on your show that said something about out of work snipers, and I was just like, oh my God, that's what they want. They want to hear that stuff from us, and we gotta squash that stuff and quell that stuff immediately. As soon as I think it was Mr. I can't remember his name that was on taking over for you that day. But anyway, I just think that we should take it for what it was worth. I think that girl likes this country very much, loves this country very much.
And, all right.
And
Dean,
and also, and as far as the guy that they installed in the White House in 2020, that was just like, can I say?
Yeah, so thank you. All right, we're dumping that. Thank you. Senator Tuberville says Katie Britt, who, by the way, he is the senior senator from Alabama. He said Katie Britt's delivery was good. And this is the quote. She was picked as a housewife, not just a senator. Somebody who sees it from a different perspective. I mean, she did what she was asked to do. I thought she did a good job, and it's hard when you've never done anything like that. No doubt about it. And maybe she needed a little bit more seasoning. I don't know. We'll see. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Connor in Massachusetts. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I'm going to tell you two things, two quick points here. Number one, when it comes to the person who called in earlier who said that the Trump, was basically a cult, you know, we love America. You know, Trump happens to be the person of the MAGA movement. I personally am a huge fan of the president. I have been for quite some time. But to call us a cult is actually quite insulting. And, you know, a person like that ought to, you know, ought to educate themselves, quite frankly, on the issues facing the day. In terms of the State of the Union, that was one of the worst State of the Union speeches I've ever seen, quite frankly. It's sad, and it's embarrassing for the president and his wife for letting him go up there, quite frankly. It's sad that this person, I don't even really believe that he was, you know, truly elected, but I will use the term president. It's sad that that is the president of the United States right now. And, you know, Election Day cannot come soon enough. And lastly, to the last caller who called in, who insulted Marsha Blackburn. Marsha Blackburn is a great American patriot. I'm a huge fan of her and definitely support her here in Massachusetts.
I mean, if Marsha Blackburn is a leftist, then there's no such thing as a conservative anywhere in elected office in America right now.
You know, it's so true. And they got to read your books, number one, because then they'll really know what a conservative is. And number two, you know, I think you're getting flooded, but, you know, for some of these people, by the Nikki Haley supporters today, you know, the real rhinos.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the seminar calls callers, and they are in the water today, churning in the water, Connor.
They are, you know, but what are you going to do? Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and you know what, you're always doing a great job, and huge fan.
All right, Connor, good hearing from you, and thank you for calling in. Yeah, here's more Katie Britt, cut 16.
I never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do across just one generation in just one lifetime. It's truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The true, unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families
need some distraction.
Our friends over at Newsmax are still conducting this big national poll, and they're collecting all of the intel for President Trump. Who do you think he ought to pick as his vice president? Well, Newsmax wants to know who you want, and you can take part in their big poll. They're going to send all the results to President Trump. All you have to do is get your smartphone out and text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. And you will be able to vote in the official Newsmax poll. Again, SKIP to 39747. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I wanted to refer back to one of your previous callers. He was calling Trump supporters a cult. I would just like to say that they're not cult members, we're patriots, and all of the Democrats are lemmings. They're just blindly following Biden over the cliff and into destruction.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that, Robert. And we've seen that play out time and time again. The idea they're coming out of last night's speech and saying that, you know, Joe Biden is physically and mentally fit. That is a lemming.
Yeah, anybody with half a brain could see that's not true. Also, I wanted to go ahead and put in my vote for VP.
Sure.
If I'm going to a doctor or a mechanic or whatever, I don't consider gender, race, or anything else. I want the best person, the most experienced person. And I have said before, and I still hang with Mike Pompeo as VP. He's worked with Trump before. Got a lot accomplished, even though they were fighting some of their own folks and all of the Democrats and the media. So if you haven't read his book, Never Give an Inch, it's very, very impressive to tell you who he is and what he's able to do.
Robert, I like Mike Pompeo, and I'm with you. It troubles me to hear so many Republicans playing the identity politics game now. And we've got to stop that because it never works out for us, right? We always end up getting the wrong person. And look, that's what happened with the Democrats right now. That's why Joe Biden is still president, because they know that Kamala Harris is not qualified. She was only picked because she's considered a person of color.
Exactly. And that scares me.
Yeah. I understand that. Robert, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on the great WOCA. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Yeah, Todd, I wanted to say thank you very much for your humor. It makes it very enjoyable in these tough times that we're living in, but also I'm very humbled that I get to talk after my actual MMA fighter representative, Kat Kamek. She gets in there and gets the job done. But what I was calling about was the State of the Union address. I actually come up with a phrase when I don't like what's being said, and this time I definitely didn't like it. I call it the State of the Onion, meaning that we're peeling the thing layer by layer and getting down to what it's really about. But as we're doing it, we're really seeing the reality, and it makes us cry. But also, in response to the Hamas attack, I am commenting on that. They've always come up with the phrase, or had the phrase, but they emphasized it around the world, from the river to the sea. And I have a response to that. I'm teaching myself, whether it's through Google Translator, Babbel, or Rosetta Stone. I already know it in English, and I won't say it in Arabic, but I would like to say, from the crescent moon to the deepest cave is what the Israelis need to go for.
Oh, wow. Mike, that's good stuff right there, my friend. Appreciate you calling in, and there you go. I love the onion analogy. Good stuff. Let's go to Willie in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station. Hi, Willie. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've been a Republican long enough to remember that if you denied the Holocaust, if you called homosexuals maggots, if you thought cockamamie things like COVID was an overseas plot to get rid of Trump, if you called teenage survivors of school shootings spoiled little bastards, those tended to be disqualifying things from you being in the GOP.
And you're taking all of that out of context, Mark or Willie, when you're talking about Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. Every single thing you just said was taking out of context.
How do you call homosexuals maggots out of context?
That's not what he said, Willie. That is not what he said, and I'm not going to let you come out of the program and continue to lie about that. So, Willie, goodbye. Thank you for calling. A lot of seminar callers today, folks. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Janice, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, that lady was right. It was the state of delusion. It was horrible last night. Now, here's a couple of things that got me. He's saying that under him, the country is better off than it was under the predecessor. Okay, which it's not. But then later, he was like screaming something about the illegals killing people or something like that, he was yelling. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, many of them are. And then later he was saying something that really got me. And if I had been there, I would have been yelling at him. I would have yelled, got up, and walked out. He's talking about he would like him and any future presidents to be able to close the border when too many people are coming. And I'm thinking to myself, too many people? When too many people are coming in, you need to close it. Okay, so what does that mean? They're going to close it and then temporarily and then later open it again and then let some more come in, and when they think too many are coming in, close it again? No one at all should ever just walk into our country that way. And if I had been there, I would have pulled the Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I would have yelled at him. I would have got up. They wouldn't have had to handcuff me. I would have just willfully walked out. I mean, this is insane. It really is. No one should ever just walk over our border.
Yeah, I am with you, Miss Janice. And again, when you go back and you look at the, you know, what Speaker Johnson was asking, he was asked all the Republicans, now we want you to be nice. We want you to have some decorum. You know, that wasn't the time or place. At a point, the Republicans have to defend themselves. And Joe Biden took what was supposed to be a State of the Union address and he turned it into a primetime political attack directed at the Republicans. And they should have fought back. I think again, Mike Johnson should have stood up. He should have pulled a Pelosi, torn the speech up, and then just walked right out of the room. I guarantee you that's all we would be talking about today is the Republican response to this nonsense.
Yeah, it was really terrible. You know, he wants the border closed. Yeah, when too many people are coming. I mean, this is not the way. People shouldn't even be coming. I mean, this is insanity. And we do not need him for president. Yes, our country is in trouble, people. There are people all across this country being injured and killed at the hands of these people. I mean, yes, some of them might be decent people. Okay, I'll give them that. But this is not the way for them to come here. They're breaking our law. And, you know, this people don't stop to think. You know, you naysayers out there. Lord forbid, but it could be one of your family members. It could even be you, because these people don't care. They're being put on airplanes and everything else, going to various states in our country. Every state is a border state. And I am imploring you, please, I am begging you for the sake of all of us.
All right. Well, again, Miss Janice, we got to leave it there. We are super late here. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, open line Friday. We're going to get back to your calls after the top of the hour news break here. And also, don't forget, head over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and pre-order right now a copy of my new book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? It is a great book. It's filled with a lot of laughter, a lot of humor, and a very frank discussion about where this country is headed unless we get out and we vote. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us on this open line Friday. Write down our telephone number. We're going to be going to the phones here momentarily. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So a little free speech dust up here in Memphis, where our show is based and we broadcast all over the country. Turning Point USA, they have a chapter at the University of Memphis, and good people there, hardworking, great conservatives. And they're hosting an event on campus. They have invited Kyle Rittenhouse to address the students. Now, they've gone through all the paperwork, and they got permission from the university, and they've got a great faculty advisor. And so Turning Point was going to be hosting and is going to be hosting this big event in an auditorium. Over 400 people are expected. You might remember Rittenhouse from Kenosha, where he was found not guilty, cleared of all charges, acquitted in the shooting of three men, including two who were killed during the Kenosha riots. The jury found that Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. So anyway, he's going to be delivering a speech on March 20th. That's just a couple of weeks from now. University of Memphis is a taxpayer-funded university. And Kyle, very excited, writing about it on X, says he's excited about coming to the Bluff City. Well, all you know what is breaking loose. So we have a very active Black Lives Matter chapter here, and they truly believe the only lives that matter are black lives. And they're organizing a protest, and they are vowing to shut down the event. There's also a former Shelby County Commissioner. Her name is Tammy Sawyer, and she is a radical black activist. She makes AOC look like a Republican. Anyway, Tammy Sawyer, we're now running for a public office again, and she is enraged over all of this. She's writing this on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. This is despicable. Why are you recapping, Kyle, how to kill people and get away with it, how to grift your way into fame for being a racist? So Sawyer is also very upset. I mean, she's calling the guy a racist, but the people he shot and killed were white people. And so I asked her to explain it. I reached out and I said, what do you mean that he's a racist? Where is your evidence that Rittenhouse is a racist? And nothing. Did not return the messages. But Sawyer is also enraged. This Tammy Sawyer woman is enraged that a white man has been invited to deliver a speech in a majority black city. I did not realize this was a big no-no. Here's what she wrote. A school in a city that is majority black. You're allowing a racist and murderer to speak on campus. Please help me understand how this is happening in this 65% black city. Well, I'll do my best, ma'am. It's called the First Amendment. We have something called freedom of speech. So the Turning Point USA field rep, Ann Elizabeth Matheny, was on KWAM this morning with Ben Dieter. And she says, look, we can't take away free speech. We're supposed to encourage all ideologies at a campus of diversity, as a campus of that is as diverse as everybody claims it is. But diversity means including conservative voices, thoughts, and ideals as well. This is true. This is what diversity truly is. Not forcing it on people, but saying, hey, look, you may not agree with my opinion, but by golly, I'm going to defend your right to have that. To have the platform to share your opinion. Now, Sawyer goes on to lash out at people she called breeding hatred. Now, that's an interesting term, and I'm going to take a wild guess. I think she's talking about you white people breeding babies that are haters. She also lobbed an ominous threat. I just hope that the University of Memphis knows that if they don't shut this down, the people will. Well, wait, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what it means. Memphis was recently named one of the most violent cities in the nation. Just this morning, a police officer pulled over a car, got shot four times. I don't see any of these people, issuing statements of concern or sympathy because the police officer's life doesn't matter. So you see, even within Black Lives Matter, not all Black Lives Matter, just specific ones. And black police officers, and I don't know the skin color of the police officer, but it's a majority black city, so it could be. But that's the reason why. If they don't, they just don't like cops. They hate the police. But when they say if the university doesn't shut it down, the people will, that's what that is code for. We will be violent. That's what that's code for. We'll see how things go. I've instructed our staff at KWAM to stand alongside Turning Point USA. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a big fan of Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm really not. Didn't want to have him on the program, and I just have a problem with it. But that's me. But by golly, we're not going to let anybody bully young conservatives. We're just not going to do that. So I told the staff we're standing alongside Turning Point USA on this. And all these threats against the conservative kids, let me say something about that. I think it's been pretty well documented and demonstrated that Kyle Rittenhouse and conservatives can pretty much handle any threat that comes their way. Just saying. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Rich is listening to us on WTJS, wants to weigh in on Katie Britt and the State of the Union. Hi, Rich. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I'll just do a whack-a-mole where you can stop me if you want because you cover a lot and I appreciate it. You are the best. I'm going to throw some stuff at you. I think a great VP would be Kristi Noem. I think the Jean-Pierre person ought to be the Bhagaswami, because it'll be equal, it'll be payback for Jean-Pierre and that other before her over in Virginia. Alan West out of Texas would be a great Secretary of Defense. Mike Johnson is a big, big letdown to me.
Right? Isn't that sad, Rich? Because I like the guy. And he's a super nice guy, but not good in that spot, in that position.
It reminds me of my brother out there when he was younger, and he's just too nice about something. And we only can have bulldogs. We have to have Churchills without the hog jaws and cigar, maybe. There's another guy on your station at night, Jesse Kelly. I've never heard of him. He gets on my nerves, but he really believes it. There has to be wholesale prison time for these people that have done what they've done, and I'm even backing off my use of the word Nuremberg. I'm not going to do it. I believe in wholesale prison time, and obviously our border czar would be a good start. I'll be real quick now, and I want you to know that at an hour from now, I'm going to be on phone with a federal interview out of Memphis from the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And I want you to know that I'll be telling the truth on something that was job related. And I'm also have the thoughts of that song about the big payoff of being a white boy. And he gets pulled over, and then he's by the law, and then he's trying to get the girl at the bar. But I hope they're not listening in over in Memphis, because y'all have been 100% good to me, and you're very professional. I want to tell that TikToker, dude, to go get a job, and we're going to turn the screws on you guys. I don't care how much money you made or how long. I was doing messing with computers before you were born. I was working on spectrographs that had the old tubes in them. And my wife let you go here, Todd and Lydia. Y'all are the best. And my wife is a naturalized citizen. I can go one-on-one with anybody about that and what Biden and them. And this is where I have my bragging rights, Todd, and you can tell me. The only time I've been to New York City was 1975, and I did a few-week stint with William Buckley at National Review. You think I'm not weird? I grew up reading National Reviews because my daddy did.
Well, there's nothing weird about that at all. That was a fine publication back in the day with William F. Buckley Jr., and, Rich, we appreciate you calling in, and you sound like a great American patriot. I will say this just as a note. Jesse Kelly is not on the radio station I own, but every now and again, I do not agree with a lot of the stuff he says, but every now and again, he says something that that I can shake my head yes on. Rich, God bless you, and thank you, sir. Thanks for holding on as well. All right, let's go to Patty in North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Hey, listen, good, Todd. Listen, I just want to say, you know, one thing, please wake up, people, because November 5th, if they take over, you could kiss America goodbye.
Yeah.
You're not going to have nothing. It's over with. Game over. And you know that. But last night, I wasn't going to watch it, Todd. I watched a little bit of it, and when he said Lincoln Riley, game over for me. I couldn't take it no more, him screaming and acting like your grandfather. I couldn't take it. And people saying that was the best speech they ever heard, and you know what? They are just going to... And. Todd, I don't know. I'm shaking my head. It was terrible. It was terrible. Yeah. But you know what's going on here? We're going for the New World Order. And
no doubt about that. Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? The man that's doing this is Obama. Obama hates this country. And when I hear people calling you and saying, oh, please close the border. No, they're not. It's all intentional. This is their vote. This is the new world order. It's going to be in November 5th. If they take over, We're done. We are done.
The census numbers, Patty. That's what we've got to pay attention to. Where are they relocating these people to? And they're putting them in typically and traditionally red towns and cities. This is all meant to jerry-rig the congressional races and the census. Patty, I got to run. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how Paul Shanklin does this, but he does have an exclusive clip from last night's State of the Union address. Let's take a listen.
Now, the honest, condensed version of Joe Biden's State of the Union.
My fellow Americans, the State of our Union is wrong. In 1941, Roosevelt and Lincoln came to this very spot and said to get more involved in Ukraine. Now my predecessor wants to stop getting us deeper into this mess. And today NATO is welcome to here tonight, but Netanyahu is not. History is watching, but I'm almost history. So, whatever. We all saw the insurrectionists January 6th, that they failed to take over the government following a guy wearing a loincloth and a buffalo hat. Political violence has no bail unless Kamala helps them out. Roe v. Wade is our only hope of getting our party elected. That and promising a second time to forgive student loans. None of us mentions the Dreamers anymore. So let's tell the story of building an economy from the bottom up and the middle gone and the government on top. Record employment for those who just got here and stagnation for the rest of us. I invested more in the family farm than my secretary of agriculture and auto plant than anybody I know. What the hell did I just say? I grew up in a home where trickle down my dad's face didn't help us much. We finally beat Big Pharma by letting insurance companies charge more to cover the cost of those savings. Folks, let's get on an airfare one and go to Moscow and get the same drug price Hunter gets from the mayor there. Dr. Jill is working on women's health care, but I'm not waiting for inflation to end. I'm going to give away $400 a month to new home buyers for 2 years. And end the dream of affordable homes for the young couples out there forever. Even if you didn't go to school, I'm going to pay your student debt. Now, let me speak to the fundamental fairness of the wealthy, other than my family, paying more in taxes. Check the numbers. I sure don't, and they haven't yet.
Joe Biden's State of the Union address will be continued.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. Let's go to Tennessee. Lisa is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lisa. What's going on?
Hi. I'm doing good. Listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Well, I was just wanting to say it is a fine example of what the Democratic Party stands for and how it was almost demonic how they all stood up and cheered when he was saying how he was wanting to do nationwide abortion. And I'm like, they all just stood up and cheered like, oh, yes, America, we kill our babies. And it was just, that's a sad state for our country to be in, that we had so many people and try to call it health care. It is not health care. It is what it is. It's murder. And I was just thinking, you know, how awful that is that so many people were standing up and cheering for that.
It was. I mean, there were a couple of moments when you looked at the anger and the rage on his face and you wonder, you know, that does not look human. It looks as if there, you know, he's been possessed or there's something just to your point, Lisa, something demonic about it all.
Yes. And it's like, you know, Satan is a thief and a liar, and that's his main purpose, is to come and destroy the children that could possibly further the word of Jesus. And that's his main goal, and he'll destroy them any way he can.
Now, Lisa, what part of Tennessee do you live in?
I'm in Northwest Tennessee, up around Reelfoot Lake.
All right.
Not far from
where?
Memphis.
Not too terribly far at all. But again, it's, you know, this is a lesson for all of us, Lisa, that there is evil in this world, and that ultimately, at the end of the day, what we are fighting is not a political fight. It is a spiritual fight. This is spiritual warfare we're dealing with here.
Yep, that is so true. And what's so crazy is the devil does not even realize he's then lost the battle.
That's true. Lisa, appreciate that call, and you keep things real up there in Northwest Tennessee. Great area of the country, beautiful area of the country. It's true, folks. The devil's a Democrat. What do you want me to say? All right, I got to take a break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number on this Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with our friends at the Wellness Company. Also, Congresswoman Virginia Fox is going to be here as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Sarge Radio Show. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock, you'll be able to watch my Newsmax TV program, The Todd Stearns Show. Newsmax 2 comes on at 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, so hope you will tune in. We've got a great, great lineup for you. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congresswoman Virginia Fox from District 5 there in North Carolina. Congresswoman, hope you're doing good today.
Doing fine. Todd, you have a lot of relatives. We have a lot of people named Starnes in the 5th District of North Carolina.
Well, I think that's where we're from originally, so at least the Starnes side of the family. So I hope everybody's behaving themselves down there.
Yeah, I think a member of your family just got elected to a seat in Caldwell County. I have to figure that out and call you back.
Absolutely. I'm curious to get your take on the State of the Union address last night. First of all, were you able to understand what the president was saying? We've heard from others that said it was very difficult in the room.
I thought the president from the get-go was extremely combative. Somebody else said that, and I feel the same way. If you close your eyes and listen to that speech, you would have thought it was a campaign speech, not a State of the Union speech. It was, in my opinion, totally inappropriate for the House chamber. And all we heard was basically accusations thrown out at Republicans about things we wanted to do, like cut Social Security, cut Medicare, take people off their health care. It really was, in my opinion, totally wrong for the setting and for the time. I think his staff had said, you got to be strong, 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 and he overcorrected, in my opinion.
It just seemed to me, and again, whether or not he was juiced up or jacked up, as we had Kat Kamick was on earlier in the show, it did seem that this was more of a political speech than an actual, here's where we are in the country right now. I didn't hear any
Correct.
Of those. You know, every now and again, if you go back in time, there are those moments when you would have Republicans standing and applauding. You would have Democrats standing and applauding but I didn't see that. I didn't see that last night.
Not last night. No, it really was. And the Democrats applauded a lot, but there was not much by way of bipartisan support and approval of what the president was doing. He did cover a lot of issues on. Under the jurisdiction of the Education and Workforce Committee. He talked about the economy, healthcare, workforce. But, you know, he took credit for record job creation. But that wasn't job creation. That was just jobs coming back that had been put in abeyance during COVID. So he can't take credit for that. although he's certainly trying to do that. He also wanted more spending, which will be inflationary in the healthcare market. The Affordable Care Act, despite what he said, I think he said again, ooh, it's a big deal, you know, going back to that expletive that he used when Obamacare was signed into law. But what it means is more government, fewer choices, higher costs. And he also talked about the unions. He's the most pro-union president that we've ever had. He wants to be that. We do have one area of common ground, and that is on the need to do workforce development. And he did talk about our workforce, bipartisan workforce Pell Act, which everybody in the country wants. It's passed the committee. Last week I talked to the business roundtable made up of all the top companies in the country, and that's what we talked about. Everybody wants a skilled workforce, and it would have been so nice if he could talk more about how we could solve the problems of the need for a skilled workforce.
How do you think Katie Britt did, the senator from Alabama?
Well, I know that a lot of people pan Katie Britt for her response, but I honestly think that the point she was trying to make, which was, look, those of us at our kitchen table are dealing with the serious issues that we're facing with inflation and all the other things that we deal with, and President Biden is so out of touch. You know, I'm not a skilled politician. I'm not a communications expert. I think she made a very earnest plea to the American people that I believe resonated with a lot of people, because they are right where Katie Britt is. They're concerned about their families. They're concerned about whether their child is going to be killed by an illegal alien. And by the way, the term should be illegal alien. Now, the president, I was kind of interested that he slipped up. I think in his subconscious, he knows about this problem, about illegal aliens. He only used the word illegal. But anyway, I think Katie made a very good effort to make the State of the Union relevant, whereas the president didn't do that.
I've been one of those that was critical. I'm not sure her demeanor fits the mood of the electorate. And I think people are just really angry and frustrated out there. My other issue there, and look, it's always a tough speech to deliver. And we have, you know, there's a history there. But it was the kitchen, Congresswoman. Now, you and I both know we're all Southerners here. I've never seen a kitchen that clean before. It doesn't look like a working kitchen.
Well, we all clean up our kitchens when we're going to have company.
We all clean up
our houses and kitchen. Come on, when you have company, and that's a real Southern thing to do. But as far as I know, most people do that.
Fair enough. I've been catching it today, so it's all right. Well, we have got to leave it there, but we really appreciate you coming on the program, and tell all my relatives I said howdy out there.
I will do that, and we love being on with you, Todd, and happy to do it again. And
yes, ma'am.
We'll find out about your Caldwell County relatives, okay?
I love it. All right, Congresswoman Virginia Fox from the great 5th Congressional District there in North Carolina. Real quick, before we go to break, and we've got to go to break, I want to bring in our good friend Charles, who is now a civilian caller again from North Carolina, WSIC, ran for Congress. And Charles, we're glad to have you back in the mix again.
Well, thank you, Todd. Glad to be back. Good talk to you. Todd, I did not watch that speech last night. I can't bring myself to watch Joe Biden, but I've been listening to your show today, and I just hope people can see the vitriol of Joe Biden, and it is critical that Republicans.
Oh, we lost poor Charles. All right, Charles, give us a call back. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks. You know, I'm a huge fan of the wellness company, and I have their emergency medical kit, and it really helped me back, what is it, a couple of months ago when we had that big virus going through Memphis, and medical supplies were hard to come by. And fortunately, I had my emergency medical kit. I brought it with me to the doctor, and the doctor said, Starnes, you're all set. You're good to go. Also, I now have the wellness company's emergency travel kit and first aid kit, and they're just pretty awesome to have. It's all about being prepared. And the great news here, folks, our friends at the wellness company, now you're going to be able to save 10% at checkout with the coupon code STARNS. So I would encourage you to write this down, write this website down. And even if you're not ordering an emergency kit today, it's good to read through the website, see all the great things they have, because this is about having the tools necessary to protect your family if it all goes to pot, right? TWC.health/Starnes. That's TWC.health/Starnes. And you're going to be able to find a great wealth of information. And don't forget, use my coupon code STARNES at checkout, and they're going to save you 10% on your purchases. Well, I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our friend, Dr. Ben Tapper from the wellness company. Dr. Tapper, hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
You know, we just saw President Biden's unhinged State of the Union address, and there's been a lot of questions, a lot of concerns about what could be coming down the road between now and Election Day. And I am curious, how likely is it, do you think, that we're going to be facing some sort of a health care challenge before the presidential election?
Well, you know what? We are in a volatile time right now, and that's a great question, because I think that things are very unpredictable, and I think it's just like in 2020. We might see a repeat. You just never know, and you hear this talk about disease X coming our way. I think it's a real possibility that there could be something down the pipeline. I mean, you're hearing it more and more and through the media that disease X could be around the corner, and I think it very well could be a possibility.
And, you know, the problem is that there's just so much gaslighting going on of the public, and especially when it came to the vaccines, which was just a disaster. And if that's a bad word to use, let me know. I mean, you're the doctor, you're the expert. But I'm wondering, you know, has that impacted the medical community at large, their behavior during the whole China virus fiasco? Has that impacted the trust that we have in our healthcare system here in America?
Oh, I think it absolutely has. I mean, I think Big Pharma overplayed their hand with this whole thing, and people have lost trust in Big Pharma and these three-letter organizations. And I think they show their true colors, that they really don't care about the health of the people. They care about profits and the stockholders here. And that's what this whole thing, this was not about health. We had an amazing opportunity to teach the public what it means to be healthy. But yet we said, stay at home. There's nothing to do naturally to fight this disease, and just push this fear mongering on the people. They use psychological warfare on the people to push this agenda, to funnel in the vaccine. And it's really criminal what happened.
I couldn't help but look at Bernie Sanders last night and talking about the gaslighting. You know, he was cutting up, carrying on, laughing. There were some guffaws that right before the president's address. But when the president began to speak, the camera panned back over to Bernie Sanders, and there he is with that big mask on his face. I think it's this kind of gaslighting with our elected leaders that's causing the bigger problem.
Right. I mean, you're seeing that over and over and over. And that's the thing. We do have a massive gaslighting that's going on right now. Gaslighting really is just a tactic that's used for those who don't have the courage to admit that they were wrong. I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing here. We have seen, you know, especially with the vaccine injury going on, we have massive injury. We have more injuries now with this vaccine than ever before in history. And the medical establishment are gaslighting those who are bringing awareness to the vaccine injury, and they're censoring those that are trying to bring awareness to this. And it's really criminal. So we are seeing that, and it shouldn't be allowed in healthcare.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I know our good friend, Dr. Beto McCullough, one of your colleagues at the Wellness Company, wrote a paper about this scientific censorship that we're seeing today. How big of a deal is that?
I mean, the censorship is, especially with the pandemic, I mean, you look at early on 2020, I talked about vitamin D supplementation and how the common denominator in most flu deaths are associated with elderly comorbidities, and they're on, you know, 13 plus medications, but also a vitamin D deficiency. And I got censored on Facebook for 60 days because of that post.
Wow.
And, you know, so not only that, this censorship is a real thing. And these people want to be the gatekeepers of truth, but it is a real issue. I mean, and this is something that I've been very passionate about. I would study National Vital Statistics System numbers, which is a data collection system for the CDC. And I would talk about how they manipulate that data to scare the public in the name of these flu cases, to push influenza vaccines on the people. But they manipulate that data to scare people. But then they censor people like myself that try to raise awareness on this issue, and like Peter McCullough. You know, and I was targeted early on in the pandemic by the Biden administration, and they labeled me one of the disinformation dozen, and they said I was responsible for 65% of the misinformation on the COVID vaccine. But really, this is, they just want to be the gatekeepers. And I said, who gets to say what's misinformation? And it's anyone that goes against the CDC's recommendations or the World Health Organization's recommendations, they're going to deem misinformation.
Dr. Ben Tapper joins us from The Wellness Company. And again, that website address, and folks, I would encourage you, go check this out. Take a look at it over the weekend, twc.health/starnes. That's twc.health/starnes. I have the emergency medical kit, the first aid kit, and the travel kit as well. And I'm curious, Dr. Tapper, there may be some moms and dads here, and they realize, oh, wow, we need to be prepared. What are some first steps that they can do to make sure, you know, they've got the resources there to take care of their family?
Well, the biggest thing is being prepared. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We need to value our health now before we get sick. And that is the key. That's in all areas of health and in life. We need to be prepared. So, A, valuing your health now. We need to eat well, move well, think well, and we can be well. But also there's some things that we can do as well, in getting good supplementation, getting one of these emergency medical kits, being prepared. You know, I have four kids at home. And when we travel, it's very important that we have our emergency kit or travel kits. Those are just a peace of mind. It's in the glove box just in case we ever need it. I mean, we go hiking in places. So being prepared. And one thing we learned during the pandemic is that the protocols were actually causing harm in the hospitals. So these emergency kits can be life-saving. They can keep you from having major problems and keeping you from the hospital. They literally are life-saving kits. And so just getting one of these kits at home can be a peace of mind.
And I got a text message just a few seconds ago. Somebody said, okay, well, what about the longevity of the drug? So I know I have like the ivermectin, Z-Pak, all of that. How long do those things typically last? What's the shelf life?
Well, you know, they have a shelf life that might say a certain amount of time. But to be honest with you, I just had a patient here recently say, hey, I have a muscle relaxer I got prescribed 4 or 5 years ago. Can I still take it? You know, it's one of those things where a lot of those drugs really have a very, very long shelf life.
I see.
It's one of those things where it's almost, you know, we're talking years. You can have this on the shelf life without ever going bad. It's one of those things where you can have, you don't have to worry about that shelf life going bad.
Love it. Well, not only am I a big fan of it, but it's also helped me out. And so that's why I just encourage people to go and get this great emergency kit that you guys have. Dr. Tapper, we're going to have to leave it there. We are flat out of time, but we appreciate all the great information today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Dr. Ben Tapper, everybody, from The Wellness Company, twc.health/starnes. And if you use my last name, Starnes, you're going to save 10% at checkout. But I'm telling you, when I got super sick and the doctor said, we've got, you know, Memphis drugstores are low on supplies, that's when I said, well, check out what I have. And he said, wow, where did you get that? So I hope even the doctor may have called the Wellness Company. I don't know. But there you go. It's always best to be prepared. And I've had that thing for 6 or 7 months, haven't needed it until I needed it. All right, folks, it's going to be, our time has expired, 5 o'clock Eastern. Watch me on Newsmax. In the meantime, you get out there, have a great Friday, and be sure to go to church this weekend, America.
Three three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.